Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. We are at Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Masni La Aresha, which is about 8 lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line is Aresha. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alea Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and captives. They should all return home safely. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Yisrael Moshe and Shoshana Sif, Lezecha Nishmas, Shoshana's father, Harav Moshe Tzvi Ben Mordechai Avram Zakatinsky, whose yahrzeit is today, and Hashem Yishlach Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is as follows. We started commenting on the statement of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So we had one version of what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said about something, about some situation, that you're chayiv bedal dvarim, but you're pater migalos, that you're chayiv in the nezek, the tzar, the ripoy, the sheves, but not poshes, but those four, and you're pater migal and you're pater migalos. So we had the first version of where he said that yesterday. Today we're going to have two more versions of where he made that comment, and we're going to try to figure out what that means for the other cases. Meaning, if he made the comment in case A, does it also apply in case B? If he made it in case B, does it also apply in case C? So that's going to be the first discussion. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a worker is killed when he goes into the Balabais' house to collect his wages, does the Balabais pay kofar? Then the Mishnah is going to discuss mutual damage between people, between oxen, or between a person and an ox. Meaning, we keep on talking about an ox scores a person damages another person. What if they damage each other? What if everybody's hurt at the end? So who pays what, and does it make a difference? A shartam, a sharmuad, and the Gemara is going to discuss what might be behind such a machlokas. Then the next Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to talk about whether the nizik is entitled to the shartam of the mazik, or just the value of the shartam. Meaning, when we say a shartam pays megufo, does the shartam pay bigufo? Meaning it's literally the body of the shartam that is collected, or is it just payment that is equivalent to the value of gufo? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of what happens if the shartam is sold, or it's hukdash, before the Gemara din, after the Gemara din, meaning whose shor is it? If it's that the shartam pays megufo, that in the sense that you owe the money, that equates to the value of the shor, so it doesn't really make as much of a difference if the shartam is subsequently sold. But if you just become the proud owner of this shartam, so now is the sale even binding? Is the hekdesh that's made even binding? So that's going to be what most of Amud Beis is about. So let's begin again, 8 lines from the end of the page. Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Masni La Aresha. So Rav Papa Mishmei Derava taught the statement of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina in relation to the Resha of the Braisa, which spoke about the following case. Hanichlas Chanusa Shal Nagar Shalom Bershus. Person walks into a carpentry shop without any permission to do so. He trespasses. Vinitz and a splinter comes off of whatever the carpenter was working on, hits the guy in the head, and he drops dead. So Pater, the Nagar, is going to be Pater. That's what the Resha says. But Pater from what? So this version of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina has that he comments on that line, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Chayiv barba dvarim, he's Chayiv in dal dvarim, but Pater migalus. That you still have to pay the dalet varim, but if the guy dies, you're pater from galus. So, meaning if he was nizok, you pay the dalet varim. If he was killed, you're pater from galus. So that's where he was talking about. He was talking about a case in the Resha where the fellow trespassed, and you're pater from galus. So says the Gemara now, man de masnila asefa, whoever taught Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina to be related to the seifa, meaning yesterday's version of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, which was talking about a person who did not trespass, who walked into the carpentry shop with permission, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says, on that case, you're pater from galus. So kolshke naresha, for sure, when you trespass and the carpenter accidentally kills you, the carpenter's going to be pater from
galus. Meaning it's a simple kal v'chomer, that if when you walked in with permission and the carpenter accidentally kills you, he's pat from galus for sure. When you walked in without permission and the carpenter accidentally kills you, you're pat from galus. But umad the masna reisha aval seif kivin derushus chayiv galus. But if you say that Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina holds you pat from galus in the case of the reisha where you trespassed, yeah, but maybe if you didn't trespass and you had a right to be there, in that case the carpenter would be chayiv galus. He bears more responsibility when you were allowed to be there. So Tosis has a couple of important comments. He says, first of all, I don't understand the kal v'chomer over here. What shaychus does the seifa have to the reisha? How could you say that if you're not going to go to galus in the case of the seifa where you were nichnas b'rishus kol shken, you're not going to go to galus in the case of the reisha where you were nichnas shelo b'rishus? They're for totally different reasons that you wouldn't go to galus. The reason you don't go to galus in the reisha when the guy trespasses is because the carpenter in that case is karov la'onas. I mean, halacha is you go to galus when you're shogeg. There are two ways not to be a shogeg. Sometimes a person is an ones, it's totally beyond his control, he's less than a shogeg. And sometimes a person is karov l'mezid. It's hard for him to plead that he's a shogeg. He was just absolutely negligent to the point that he's much closer to a mezid, which means it's more than a shogeg, it's worse than a shogeg. And both of those are good reasons not to go to galus. So Tosfos raises the question that in the ratio when the guy is nichnas shelo b'rishus, the reason the carpenter's not going to go to galus is because he's karov la'ones. He had no idea. He had no idea that he had to be careful. He had no idea that anyone's going to be there. Whereas in the seifa, the reason you don't go to galus when the fellow's nichnas b'rishus is because you're karov l'mezid. That if you told the guy, come on in, and then you continue to be careless and just chop the wood, and so then you're karov l'mezid. So how can you even learn a kal v'chomer from one to the other? They're just going in opposite directions. Shogeg is the case where you're chayav galus. So one is a case that's a little closer to mezid. The other is a case that's a little closer to ones. So Tosfos originally writes that the Gemara means to say that when you're nichnas shelo b'rishus, it's more karov la'ones than nichnas b'rishus is, and therefore if we're going to be mechayiv him galus in the seifa, kol shken in the reisha. But Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense because if the patur in the reisha is mitzad that it's karov la'ones, so we should have patered him even midin dal advarim, and therefore he explains differently that in the seifa when it's nichnas b'rishus, it's more similar to horiges chaveru b'ya'ar than the reisha, which is nichnas shelo b'rishus. And since the case in the Torah of going to galus is horiges chaveru b'ya'ar, so that's where the kal v'chomer is coming from. Which one is more similar to horiges chaveru? Targus Chavero Biyar. Tosus also points out in Dibra Maskel Mechayvi that according to this Lashon, the Chayiv Galus, the Lechora, you're going to be Chayiv Galus when you're Hosef Lo Ritzua beyond what Beis Din had assessed he deserves, if you hit him one extra time. And you're not going to have to say that it's a case that the Dayan made a mistake. Or if you're Zorik Evan Lo Rishos Rabim, you're Chayiv even though you were Zorik during the daytime in the Rishos Rabim. You don't have to make an Ukimta that it's talking about the Ashpa, because in all those cases, and in the case of someone who's nichnas l'chanuso, someone who comes into the storekeeper of the shop of the carpenter, it's not considered a shogeg karv l'mezid, just like an omer muta this patur migalus, like the Gemara in Makos says in Daf Zayin. Even though they should have been more careful, it's still considered a shogeg and not a mezid, and you're therefore going to be chayiv in galus. Meaning, what we're saying right now is that when you're going to say that in the case of the Seifa, when he's nichnas b'rishus, you are chayiv galus. Apparently we're saying that even by a shogeg that's a little bit more leaning toward mezid, we're still going to call that a shogeg. So all the cases we had yesterday that were a shogeg that leaned a little bit more toward mezid because they involved somewhat of a negligence, we're still going to call that a shogeg. So it says Gemara, panumi chayiv galus, is the carpenter going to be chayiv galus when someone comes into his house? Fatanya, but don't we have a brisa that says a nichnas chanus? If you go into a blacksmith's house, and a spark comes out and hits the fellow in the head, or in the face, and he drops dead, so pater v'afilu nichnas b'rishus, the blacksmith is going to be pater even if the other guy came in b'rishus. So why should a carpentry shop be any different than a blacksmith shop? So says no, the case of the blacksmith is talking about where it was the Talmud, it was the student that he was teaching how to be a blacksmith. So Shuli Dinafka Mikhtal Kai, what? So just because he's a student, he deserves to die, and there are no consequences to his death? No, it's when the master says, get out of my shop, and the guy said, no, I want to learn more, so I'm staying anyway. So he stays in the shop, he refuses when he was thrown out. Still, like if you say get out and he says no, so what, you could shoot him in the head? I mean, like the guy deserves to die just because he's staying in the shop. You're not allowed to kill him a shogig. You knew he was there. You knew that he didn't listen to you. So why should it make a difference? So kasavar yatsa. No, you didn't know. You thought he had left. You said get out. He and you went back to your work. So you assumed that when you said get out, he listened to you. So frankly, if that's the case, we should say the same is true by anybody. That if someone stays in the house of the blacksmith and you tell him to leave and you thought he left, so you're going to be putter on killing him. It doesn't have to be the student. So it says Gemara, Acher Lesley Masa Derabe. No, because if it was someone else, he's not fearful of the blacksmith, and therefore we have to the blacksmith should be choshesh that maybe he didn't listen when you told him to leave. But hi, Isley Masa Derabe. But this fellow has a certain amount of ema of the master, and therefore you would imagine that just telling him to leave means he left, and you thought that he listened, and therefore you're an ones when you kill him. So that's why you're not going to be chayav galus in that case. So if someone goes into the blacksmith's house and is a random stranger, and you told him to leave, so you have no right to assume that he did leave, and if you accidentally kill him, you're chayav galus. But if it was his student, and you have a right to assume that he did leave, and then you accidentally kill him because he had stayed, then you're going to be put from galus because that's considered to be an ones. Now, a third version of where Rav Yosef Rav Chanina made this comment. Rav Zvidmish made the Rava Masni Law Aha, that he taught Rav Yosef Rav Chanina's comment related to a brisa that comes up in Maseches Makos and Daf Ches Amud Aleph that quotes the pasuk V'Noshala Barzel Min Eitz U'Matza Esrei. Meaning where it talks about killing someone b'shogeg umatza prat l'mamtzias atzmo, that someone who kills b'shogeg is only going to be chayiv galus where the nerag was in that location before your action that killed him. But if he only showed up to that location after you had already done your action, so then he stuck his head out and whatever you had thrown in that direction, then whacked him in the head and killed him. So then you're going to be patimik. Hadam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Mishi Yatzev Mitachs Yadov. A person throws a rock into an empty area, Vahotzi Allah Esrosho V'Kibla, and then all of a sudden a guy jumps in the way. He jumps in the path of that rock and dies from that. So Pater, the guy who killed him is not going to have to go to galus because the nerag was himtzias atzmo. So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. On that, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina says, Pater migalus v'chayiv arba dvarim. That yeah, if you kill him, you're pater from galus. But if you damage him, you do have to pay dal dvarim. So says Gemara, man de masni lo aha. If Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina is going on that price, that even in such a case, you're chayiv and dal dvarim kol shkein hakamaisa. Then for sure, on the brisos that we were quoting yesterday, and yesterday's daf, they talk about a person who's nichnas chanuso shel nagar, where you go into the carpentry shop and you get damaged. Of course, the carpenter is going to be chayiv in the nezek of dalad dvarim, even if the guy was trespassing, because you knew he was there, you saw he was there, and you should have been more careful. But amanda masna kamaisa, if you taught the statement of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina only about going into a carpentry shop, and that's where he says you're going to be chayiv bedalad dvarim avalaha. But when some fellow sticks out his head after you had thrown the rock when he wasn't there, so then patal gamri, then not only are you going to be put from galus, you're going to be put from dalad dvarim as well. So those are the three versions of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. So we know what he said. He said that you're put from galus and you're chayiv in dalad dvarim. We're just not sure in what case he said it. So again, either he said it in a case where someone trespasses into the carpentry shop, or he said it into a case where someone walked into a carpentry shop with permission, or he said it in a case where someone stuck his head out after you had thrown a rock. So those are the three versions. So now the Gemara brings a brisa, talks about a person who goes in berushus, who goes into someone else's property and he gets damaged there. But a particular case of a worker who wants to get paid. Tan Rabbanan, Paulim Shabo Litboas Choran mi Balabayas. Workers come to get paid from the Balabayas. Unugachan Shoru Shal Balabayas. And the Shor of the Balabayas has got a watchdog or a watch Shor, and the Shor gores him. Unushachan Kalbo Shal Balabayas, or his watchdog bites him. Umes, and the guy dies. So Potter, the Balabayas does not have to pay kofer because this fellow trespassed. The Balabayas didn't have to be careful to make sure that this guy doesn't get hurt. Acherim omrim rashon paul and paschar mi Balabayas, but Acherim say a worker is allowed to go and ask for his wages, and if the only way to do that is by going to the Balabayas' house, he's allowed to do that as well. The Gemara Misachshoria says that Acherim is Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel made a knas that they're not going to say halachos mishmo, so they call him Acherim. At some point, there was some sort of knas against him, but that's who Acherim is. That he's allowed to go and he's allowed to be he's allowed to ask for his wages. Well, what exactly is the case of this Balabayas? If he owes his workers money, but he's always available, you can find him out in the city wherever you are. So my time at Acherim, why would you hold that you're allowed to show up to his house and demand the wages in his house? Show up, find him wherever he is. Go up to him somewhere else. And if we're not talking about, if he's not available in the public, he's always in his house, he's hiding out in his house, my time in Tanakama, then why would the Tanakama hold that you're not allowed to go to his house? There's no other way to get your payment. You're allowed to go and ask for your wages. So it says, lo tzricha. No, the case of the Braisa is, like we often say, somewhere in between. Begavra d'shchiach v'lo shchiach. It's a person who's sometimes out, but he's not out so much. He's more or less to himself. V'kari abava, and the Paulim came, and they knocked on his door. V'amr lu in, and the Balabayas said, yes. So machlokas tanaim, how do we touch up his yes? So Mar Savar the Acherim, Remeir holds in Ol Tav Mashma, that when he says yes to someone knocking on his door, he means come in and take your wages. And therefore the Poelim had every right to come in. So if my dog bites him or my ox kills him, so I'm going to have to pay the kofar. Umar Savar in Kuma Duchtech Mashma, and Tanakama held that in means stay right where you are. I'm not giving you permission to come to my house. So the Poelim were Nichna Shaloberishus, and therefore the Balabayas is Potter on the Harigas. Tanya Kamad Yomer in Kuma Duchtech Mashma. We have a Braisa that supports the Shita that in means stay where you are. Titania Polish mi Balabayas. If a Pol comes in to ask for his wages from the Balabayas, Unugacho Shor Shal Balabayas Unushacho Kalbo, and the Shor of the Balabayas gores him, or the Kelev of the Balabayas bites him, so Pata the Balabayas does not pay kofer. The Avabisha Niklas Burshus, even though the Pol went in Burshus to the Balabayas. So my Pater, why should he be Pater? The guy walked in Burshus, you should have known he was there. Elalav the Kaya Bhava Amrlayin. Oh, must be that it's this case that he knocked on the door and the Balabayas said in, and then the guy got killed. And even in such a case, Balabayas is Pater Shmamina in Kumaduchtech Mashma, because when he says in, even though you may have interpreted that to be Birishos, he wasn't really giving you Rishos. He was saying, stay right where you are. I'm coming. In means I'm coming to the door. It does not mean you should walk in to the house. Okay, so now a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about what if there's mutual damage between two oxen, two people. Meaning up until now we've been talking about one damages the other. But what if they damage each other? So Shnei Shvarin Tamin Shechavlu Ze'ezet. If you have two short times that damage each other, Mishalman B'moser Chatzi Nezek. The Bailim pays Chatzi Nezek of the difference. Meaning if one of the oxen gored the other one and did 100 dinarim worth of damage, and the other one did 50 dinarim worth of damage to him, so we view it as if the first one did 50 dinarim worth of damage, and since the Shartam pays Chatzi Nezek, he pays 25 dinar. Shneim Muadin, if they're both Muadin, Misham B'moser Nezek Shalem, then you pay the entire differential in the damage. If you damaged me 50, but I damaged you 100, so I pay you 50. Echotam Yechon Muad, if one of these oxen were a Tam and the other one was a Muad, Muad Bitam, so if the Muad damaged the Shartam in a greater way than the Tam damaged the Muad, Mishalim B'moser Nezek Shalem, then the Bailim of the Shar Muad muad pays the entirety of the differential. Tam b'muad mishalim b'mosfei chatzi nezek. If the tam damaged the muad more than the muad damaged the tam, so he pays half of the differential. V'chein shnei anashim shechavlu zeh b'zeh. If you have two people that damaged each other, mishalim b'mosfei nezek shalem. You look at the difference in the cost of the damage, and you pay nezek shalem because an adam is always a muad. Adam b'muad u'muad ba'adam. If a person damaged the muad, the shor muad, or the shor muad damaged an adam, mishalim b'mosfei nezek shalem. Since each of them pay nezek shalem, so you pay the differential. You pay nezek shalem. Adam b'tam v'tam ba'adam. If a person damaged the tam at the same time that the tam damaged the adam b'tam mishalim b'mosfei nezek shalem. So if the adam damaged the tam more than the tam damaged the adam, so then he pays the differential nezek shalem. Tam ba'adam, but if the tam damaged the adam more than the adam damaged the tam, mishalim b'mosfei chatzi nezek. Then he only pays chatzi nezek of the differential. So it really just, according to the Tanakhama, everything checks out exactly as you'd expect. Meaning, whatever's a muad, it's just that the way we assess it is, you don't assess it by the damages, you assess it by the differential in damage. And therefore, whatever's a muad that's going to end up paying the differential pays the full differential, and whatever's a tam that pays the differential is always going to pay half of the difference in the damage. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af tam shechovel ba'adam mishalim b'moser nezek shalem. That a short tam that is chovel, a person more than the adam has hurt the short tam, pays nezek shalem of the differential. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, the din of a short tam paying chatzi nezek is only when it hurts another shor. But a short tam that hurts an adam is always going to pay nezek shalem. So it's not really a new din that Rabbi Kiva is introducing in our Mishnah, meaning in the dinim of had a cheshbin when there's mutual damage. It's a broader din of just a shartam, that the din of a shartam paying chatzi nezek is only when a shartam hurts, damages another shar, but not when it does so to an adam. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Brice explains what exactly is the nekuda samachlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. So the pasuk says by a shar that's nogeach an adam, it says kamishpat hazeh ye'ase lo. So kamishpat shar bishar, like the mishpat of a shar that gores a shar, kach mishpat shar ba'adam. Same rules when a shar gores an adam. So Tanakama will understand very straightforward that the pasuk is telling me that a shor that gores a person has the same rules as a shor that gores another shor. That if it's a muad, it pays nezek shalem. If it's a tam, it pays chatzin nezek. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Amar kamishpat hazeh kirtachton velo ke'elyon. When it says kamishpat hazeh, we say that the din of a shor who gores an adam is like the shor atachton, meaning the shor muad that the psukim are about to explain velo ke'elyon, and not like the shartam who were explained in the earlier psukim, meaning pasuk chavches is about a shartam, and psukim chavtes and lamid are about a shar muad in Shmos Perek Chav Aleph. So and then lamid aleph tells us kamish batazeh. So what's kamish batazeh? So kamish batazeh, according to Rabbi Kiva, is the last thing we just said. That the last thing we just said was about a shar muad. So when a shar gores a person, so that's like the thing we just said, which is always going to be a shar muad. So yachal mishalim in aliyah. Ooh, it's really just like a shar muad. So I might think that shar tam that hurts a person is going to pay min aliyah. It's not going to pay migufo. Tamalomer ye oselo migufo mishalim in aliyah. The word lo is there to teach me that it still only pays migufo. So even though it's a shar tam who's paying nezek shalem, but it pays the nezek shalem only migufo and not min aliyah. So it turns out, according to Rabbi Kiva, a shar tam that is nagach adam has the din of a shor muad as far as nezek shalem, but it still is the din of a shor tam in that it pays migufo and not min aliyah. The Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, ze lamali. What does the word ze come to teach me? Meaning they don't hold like Rabbi Akiva that a shor tam that's nogeach adam is mishalim nezek shalem. The potra me'arba devarim. It comes to teach me that the shor that gores an adam does not pay anything beyond nezek. Not tsar, not ripoy, not sheves, not boshes, just nezek. For Rabbi Akiva, the potter mevar dvarim in dalei. How does Rabbi Akiva know that it's potter from dal dvarim? Nafkalei, he derives that me the ish ki yitin mum ba'amiso from the pasuk we darshin that ish ba'amiso velo shor ba'amiso, that the chiv of dal dvarim is only when an ish does damage ba'amiso, not when a shor does damage ba'amiso. For Rabbanan, why does according to Rabbanan, why do I need to the word ze to tell me that a shor that damages does not pay dal dvarim? Why can't I learn it from ish ba'amiso? Because If it were from Ishba Miso, I would have said that the Torah is just excluding a shor that's Choval Ba'adam from paying Tsar, but because there's no Chesron Kis for Tsar. Aval Ripoy, Sheves, Vesheves, Emelitinle. But when it comes to Ripoy and Sheves, where the, you know, there's an actual Chesron Kis, you actually lose money. So I might think that he does have to pay that. So Kamash Malah, and that's why I need Kamishpat Hazeh, that he doesn't pay any of the Dalet Dvarim. Okay, next Mishnah. Shar Shav Manashnag, Shar Shav Masayin. If a shard that's worth $100, Gore is a shard that's worth $200, Veina Nevela Yafa Klum, and it totally destroys it. The Nevela is worthless. So, no tell us a shard. The Mazik takes, the Nizik rather, takes the shard of the Mazik, which is worth 100 dinarim for the payment. Meaning, he's going to be Chayiv, it's a short time, so he's Chayiv Chati Nezek, but it's Chati Nezek Mi Gufo. So, I could just take Gufo. I just take the shard that did the damage, which is worth exactly half of the damage that he had done. So Masnisin money, Rabbi Akiva. Our mission is assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. When it says you're just allowed to go take the shar, that's assuming like Rabbi Akiva that from the Shas HaNezek, the shar HaMazik now belongs to the Nizik up to the value of what you're entitled to. Ditanya, because we have a brisa where there's a machlokas tanoim about a shor shav mana that's not a shor shav masayin where the nevel is worthless. So Yusham hashor beveizdin divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That Rabbi Shmuel says beizdin has to evaluate the value of the shor hamazik because it's only going to pay migufo, and if it's worth half of the nezek, so the bailim pays that amount of money to the nezek, but the nezek's not allowed to take the shor itself. Rabbi Kiva Omer huchlat hashor. Rabbi Kiva says no, the nezek takes the shor itself. So b'maika miflgi, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Shmuel savar balchov. Who Rabbi Shmuel holds that the bailim of the shor hamazik is simply a balchov, that you owe him that amount of money. How much money? Megufo, only up until the value of your own shor, but it's all about money that you owe him. You don't owe him your shor. Vizuzehu demasikle, and therefore you only owe him money, but your shor is still your shor. For Rabbi Kiva Savar, shutvininu. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the Torah makes him a shutaf in that shor. That if a shor, if it gores a shor shav masayim, or if a shor shav masayim gores another shor shav masayim, and it turns out that you owe 100 dinarim like a din of a shor tam, so now they're both shutafim in that shor that's shav masayim. But if it's a shor shav mana that gores a shor shav masayim, and the payment that you owe is going to be 100, so now you're not shutafim. Now it belongs entirely to the nizik. The nizik gets to take the entire shor because it's worth exactly what you owe him. So the kamifli b'haikra, and what they're arguing about whether you owe money or whether you become the proud owner of gufo shel shor is really a machlokas and how to tie up the following pasuk. Pasuk says in the same parak in Shmos Chafal, umachras hashor achay v'chatzu as kaspo. Rabbi Shmuel savor lebeidina kamasa rachmana, that the Torah is telling the beis din to sell the shor achay and give half of the money to the Baal HaShor HaNizik, but the Shor itself doesn't belong to the Nizik. Rabbi Kiva Savar LeNizik UMazik Masa LeRachmana, that the Torah is telling the owners of these oxen that they should sell the living Shor and split the money that they get for it, because they are now both Shutafim in the Shor. So so that's the Machlokas. Is it that it immediately the Shor HaMazik immediately belongs to the Nizik, or is it that the Mazik owes money equal to whatever damage it had done? So my benayu, what's enough community between them? Hikdisha nizik ikabinayu. If the nizik was makdish the shor hamazik after the nezek, so then you're going to have a machlokas. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the hikdish nachal, because it's not yours. You're not allowed to be makdish something that doesn't belong to you. Just because this fellow owes you money, you can't be makdish his ox, just like you can't be makdish anything else that belongs to him. But according to Rabbi Kiva, it is going to be chal, because from the moment of the nezek, you are a proud owner of this shor hamazik, based at least up until the value of what the fellow owes you. So by me, Rav Amir Rav Nachman, Mecharo Mazik, Rabbi Shmuel Mahu. What if the Mazik sold this shor after the nezek before he collected the nezek collected it. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, is the mechira going to be chal if the mazik, meaning the original owner of the shor mazik, sells the shor before the nezek comes and collects it? Kivin dam Rabbi Shmuel balchov huzuziyu the mazik lei machur. Do we say, well, I don't owe him my shor, I owe him money, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want with my shor, and therefore the sale is a binding sale? According to Rabbi Shmuel, I only owe him money, so it's still my shor, I'm still allowed to sell it. Oh, Dilma, or maybe not. Kivin de meshabed le nizik, since this shor is meshubad along with the rest of my property to pay the nizik, because there's always a shibud, so lav kol kamine, so maybe I'm not allowed to sell it and be mafkia that shibud of the nizik. So amalei, Rav Nachman says to Rava, within shitas Rabbi Shmuel, eino machur, it's not a valid sale. Tanya, but don't we have a brisa that says mechar or machur, that it is a valid sale? So the Rav Nachman responds, even according to the brisa, chozer v'goveu, the nizik can go and collect this shor from the lokeach. V'chimach shchozer v'goveu lama machur. So if he's allowed to collect from the lokeach, what do you mean that it's a valid sale? Meaning even the brisa that says it is a valid sale only means that it's a valid sale, but the nizik can come and take it. Well, if the nizik can come and take it, what does it do that it's a valid sale? What does that mean? So the ridya for plowing, that if the lokeach used that shor to plow his field from the moment that he had bought it until the nizik had come and confiscated it from him, he doesn't have to pay the demei acharisha to the nizik, because the mechira was really chal. It's just that the nizik can come and collect from it, but you were the owner of that shor for the time that you had it. So says Mara, wow, so shema mina l'chora, we learn a big chiddush lahalacha from this case, that from the fact that the nizik is allowed to go and collect that shor from the lokeach, we see that lava umocha metaltalin, that if a person borrows money and after the halva'ah he sells metaltalin, the basin will be gover for the malva from that metaltalin. Because if the lova doesn't have money to pay, apparently the malva is allowed to collect metaltalin from the lukuchos who had purchased that metaltalin, just like over here, the nizik is collecting the shar, which is metaltalin, from someone who had purchased it. But that sounds crazy. Normally a malva is not somich at the time of the halva'ah on the metaltalin, he's only samich on the karkaos of the love. So why is he allowed to go and collect metaltalin? Isn't that exactly what's happening over here? So the Gemara answers, no, Malta is not allowed to collect metaltalin that the love had sold. Meaning if I lend you money and you don't have the money to pay it back at the time that it's due, and in the meantime you sold a bunch of metaltalin, I certainly cannot go confiscate that metaltalin. All of Seder Nezikin tells us that you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to go in Shibut Karkaos. You don't have on Metaltlin. But Shiny Hasam, but by a Nizik that's gover from the shor of the Mazik is different. To Kamanda Aso Aputiki Dami. It's as if he made that an Aputiki for the Lovah, that he was Miyachid that for the collection. So if you take a piece of Metaltlin, you make it an Aputiki, and you say that this is what's going to be designated for the collection, so then he is allowed to collect it. V'amarava, but didn't Rava teach us asa avda apotiki, that if a person makes an apotiki to the apotiki for the malva, that he designates the evet to pay, so mecharo and then afterwards he sells him to another person, balchov gove himenu, the balchov can collect him from the lokeach because he was nishtabit for the piron chov before he had sold him, but shoro apotiki umecharo ein balchov gove himenu. Yeah, the Eved could become an apotiki where you can go and collect him from Lukuchos, but not a shor. So we still were back to the problem. How can you collect this shor? You want to tell me, oh, because it says if he was designated for that payment, even when a shor is designated for that payment, you're not allowed to buy him from Lukuchos. So Eved, my taima, why is it that by an Eved you're allowed to collect him from Lukuchos? Mishum disle kala, because everyone knows about the status of the Eved, and therefore the buyer should have been more careful. Well, Hainami kibin denagach kala islay. In this case, everyone should have known about the shor. Meaning a typical shor, not everyone's going to know about it, and therefore you're not allowed to take him from the kuchos, even if he was designated as an apotiki. But in this case, since he gored, that everyone had heard about, so that there's going to be the Torah nechana karule, because everyone stopped calling it a shor, and they started calling it a shor nagchan. They started calling it, oh, that crazy shor, that dangerous shor that belongs to that fellow. So now the Gemara brings a brice that discusses selling the shor amazik or being makdish the shor amazik. Tani Rav Tachlif Bar Marava, Kamei de Rabbi Avo, Mecharo in Machar, Katisha Muktosh. If he sells the Shara Mazik, it's an invalid sale. But if he's Maktish, it is a valid sale. So Mecharman, who's selling it? Ilim Mazik, if it's the Mazik that's selling his own shard, so macharu ein machar money, Rabbi Akiva he. Who's the one that says that the sale would not be binding? That's Rabbi Akiva. Damar huchlat hashar, who says that from the moment of the nezek, the shard now belongs to the nizik, and therefore the mazik is not able to sell it. Hikdish or muktosh asan Rabbi Shmuel, but then the Sefer says that if he's makdish it, then it's muktosh. That lecharu goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Damar yusham hashar beveizdin, who says that no, you only owe money, you don't owe the shard, and therefore you're allowed to be makdish the shard. So that doesn't make sense that half of the statement is going to be going, how could it be that the Reish is like Rabbi Akiva and the Seif is like Rabbi Shmuel? So Ella Nizik. No, it must be that we're talking about that the Nizik is the one that does the sale. Mecharu ain't a machar money. So who holds that the Nizik has no right to sell the shar? Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the Nizik is not the owner of the shar. He just sold money. Hikdisho Muktash is on Rabbi Akiva. But the problem is, when we said that if the Nizik is Makdishit, that it's Muktash, that assumes ownership. That seems like it's going like Rabbi Akiva. So we're stuck with the same problem, that the Reisha and the Sefer don't align with each other. So the Ola Mazik. Maybe we really were talking about that the Mazik is the one who's doing the selling or the Makdish of it, or being Makdish it in this case. V'divrei Akol. And it's not being Nichras into the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It means as follows. Mecharu Einu Machar. If the Mazik sells this shor, then it's not going to be sold. Afilu Rabbi Shmuel. It's not a valid sale, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, Tamashabdele Nizik, even though I'm still the owner of the shar, meaning the mazik is still the owner of the shar, but there's a shibud on it. It's meshuba to the nizik. So therefore, you're allowed to go and collect it from the lukuchos. So Eino Machar doesn't mean the sale is totally invalid. It means the sale is valid, it's binding, but the nizik is allowed to go and take it away from the lukuchos. Hey, because like we explained earlier, Hektish or Muktash Afil Rabbi Kiva. When we say if I'm Maktish, it's Muktash, that's even according to Rabbi Kiva that I'm not the proud owner of it anymore. And that's because of a din midrabanan that Rabbi Avo made, that it's a gzera, that if we're not going to call it Hegdish, then people are going to think you could just take things away from Hegdish without being po'd to them, and that would be a terrible impression to give to people. Tanu Rabban, we have a price. A short time shehizik ad shelo amad bedin, if a short time damaged, and they still didn't have a amad bedin, they were not toveya, the nizik in bezdin, so mecharo, if the mazik sells that shar, the nizik was not yet tovea from the mazik in Beis Din. Mecharo, if the mazik then sells that shar, machar, the sale is binding. Hekdesh or muktish, and if he's maktish it, it's a valid hekdesh. Shechato, if the mazik shechs that shar, when the son of a matanor gives it to someone else, mashal sasui, whatever he did, meaning so long as you haven't even sued me yet for the damage is done, this shar is still absolutely mine. I can do whatever I want with it. I can sell it, I can be maktish, I can give it as a matana, whatever. Misha amad bedin, but once you're toveyed and based in, then the shar becomes the mammon of the nizik. So mecharu einu machar, hekdesh einu muktish, chato and son of a matana, loss of lo klum, anything I do with it is invalid because it's not mine anymore. Kadmu bali chavos v'gbiu. What if the mazik's bali chavos come and collect this shar from him for their chov that I owe them? So before the nizik comes and takes it for the tashlum of his nizikin. So bein chav ad shelo hizik. Whether that chiv was there before the damage happened, bein hizik ad shelo chav, or whether the chiv only happened after the damage, lo asav lo klum. The Bali Chovos had no right to take it, because the short time only pays Megufo, and therefore it's Miyuchad to the Nizik to collect his Chov. So more so Miyuchad to the Nizik than to any other Bal Chov that I have. So I could owe a million people all sorts of money, but this Shor is meant to pay this Nizik, and no one else is allowed to take it. Muad Shizik, if a Muad does damage, Bein Shamad Bedin, Bein Shalom Bedin, whether there was a Hamad Bedin or not, Mecharu Machar, Hekdeshamok, Shchato Nisan Matanama, then for sure it's still mine because it never belongs to the nizik when it's a muad. It's never because muad pays min aliyah. Kanu bali chavos v'gbiu, and therefore if my other bali chavos come and collect it, bein chavat shelo hizik, bein hizik at shelo chav, masha asasui l'fishay mishtalim ele min aliyah. Then when other bali chavos come and collect it, the collection is a valid collection because you pay min aliyah. So the nizik has no rights to this shor whatsoever. So let's go and analyze the Torah. Tosefta. We said Mecharo that if Mazik sells the Shartam that had done the damage before Amad Bedin, Machur, then it's considered to be sold. And the Bryce explains that the Tosefta means Laradia, that it means if the guy who bought it uses it to plow his field, then ultimately when it's confiscated from him, he's not going to have to pay back for the value that he got out of the plowing. Hekdeshu Muktosh Mishum Drabi Avo. And why is it considered to be the Hekdesh considered to be Muktosh? Because it's Meshubah to the Nizik, and it's not Kadosh Mikra Adin because it's Meshubah to the Nizik. It's only Adin Midrabanan that people shouldn't think that a Hekdesh could be Yotze below Pidyon. Shechato Nesanu Matana Masha Asa Asui. When he said if you shecht it and it's Nesanu B'matana, then whatever was done was done. So Bishlam Nesanu Matana Masha Asa Asui L'ridya. So I understand very well that the Mazik is allowed to give the Shar B'matana. That means that if the guy I gave it to as a matana went and he plowed with it, he's not going to have to pay that back after it gets confiscated from him. But if the mazik shechted it, when we say masha asa asuri, and the nizik is not able to collect it from him, so let the nizik come and collect from the meat of the shar. Titania, after all, we have a brisa that darshins the pasuk that says chai. It says umcharo as ashar chai. So ainly elachai. I would only know when the shar is chai. Shchato minayin. How do I know that you could collect the meat after it's shechted? Tamalom or mcharo as ashar. Mikol makom. Even if it's dead. So why, if the mazik shechted it, do we say masha asa asui? Some Rav Shizbi lo nischa el pchas shchita. It means masha asa asui and the decrease in value from the shchita. So he has to take the shor kamosha hu as it is now. Amar Rav Huna Brei Yeshua zos ameres mazik shibud shel chaver pater. Ooh, it seems like if you're mazik someone else's shibud, then you're going to be pater because here the shor is meshubud. I was mazik it by shechting it, and I only get to take the meat at its current value. Says Mar Pshita, obviously it's a direct connection. I might have thought that when I shecht the shar, I could say, look, all I took out from it was a ruach chayim, but physically it's the same physical item. But in other cases, mazik shibud shel chaver, maybe you'll actually be chayiv. So it comes to tell me it's the same. Hanami Rabba Amar Adama Rabba Hasarv Shtarosov shel chaver pater. Even in the case of Sarv Shtarosov, where you just cost him a couple of pieces of paper, you know, in terms of in the physical world, we said that you're pater. So where you could say that I just burnt some pieces of paper, but where you actually dig in the karka, I might think you did physical damage, so therefore Rav Huna has to tell me that we learn from our sugya that even in that case you're pater, because in the case where you the mazik shechts the shor, the hezek is so nicker, it's as if you dug baruch lemaros the kamer masha asa asui. And the Tosefta says, whatever you did is did, is done already, and the hezek is not considered to your putter on the hezek that you had done. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up from there.